Class is in session. You're listening to Squat University by Dr. Aaron Horshake.
Let's go!
Now, let's start the show.
Podcast listeners, thank you so much for checking out today's show. This is episode 57 of the Squat University podcast. The goal with each and every one of these shows is to bring you as much value-packed content to help you move better in the gym and in life, decrease your body's aches and pains, and help you reach your true athletic potential. Now, today's show is all about shoulder internal rotation mobility. A question I'm often asked is, do I need more internal rotation? And the answer is always, it depends. Now, let's start off with this. The shoulder joint, if you look at it closely, is almost like a golf ball sitting on a golf tee. The end of your humerus bone, your long arm bone, upper arm bone, it has an end that's very round, circular shaped, almost like a golf ball. The end of your shoulder blade, your scapula, is shaped like a golf tee. So the humerus bone fits in and connects to the shoulder blade like a golf ball sitting in a golf tee. And just like that analogy, there's actually very little contact between the shoulder blade and your humerus bone. So what that means is that your shoulder joint is one of the most anatomically mobile joints in the entire body because there's not a lot of congruency between the two bones. It's naturally just a very mobile joint. That being said, whenever we're doing a lot of overhead lifting, we need a certain amount of mobility in order to get the job done, in order to have sufficient technique. With that being said, a lot of people will always ask, do I need more mobility? The answer is always, it depends, because more mobility isn't always a good thing, especially for some people that already have excessive motion. I see a number of athletes as a physical therapist that have what we would call hypermobility. They're extremely mobile. So the last thing they need to do is stretch or do more mobility exercises to gain more and more motion, because what that does is it pushes you into this category called instability. So there's a fine line between having hypermobility and just enough motion to do what you need to do as far as the lifting techniques that you're trying to perform. And you push a little bit more, you almost like are teetering over the edge of the cliff. If you do too much stretching and too much mobility work, you can actually tip yourself into a point where you are so mobile that your body cannot sustain that mobility and it cannot hold on. You've fallen over the cliff, now you're unstable. So then you have a joint that's moving too much and you can easily find injury that way as well. So the big thing we have to understand when someone asks the question, do I need more internal rotation specifically, is we have to test it. We must never assume, but instead assess and address what we find appropriately. So let's explain what I mean. There's a very simple screen I've shared before where you are sitting against a wall. You're going to have your arms up against the wall in an L position, almost like a referee with a field goal post. And you are going to keep your shoulder blades pinned against the wall and then rotate your forearms forward towards the ground as far as possible without letting your shoulder blades pop off the wall. Now, ideally, most people should have the ability to rotate their forearms to at least a parallel position relative to the ground, if not further. This is the motion of internal rotation at the shoulder because we're coming up from that L position and then rotating forward. Now, if you were able to easily pass that test, congratulations. You likely have sufficient shoulder internal rotation, and you likely do not need to do any more flexibility or mobility exercises like the ones that you'll see all over the internet. And in fact, if you do them, you could put yourself in a position, like I said before, where you're creating instability potentially and pushing yourself into an issue that could eventually create an injury. However, if you are in the second boat and you are unable to pass that screen, you then have to ask yourself this question. Was it painful to perform or stiff? So were you limited due to stiffness or pain? Now, a loss of shoulder internal rotation could be due to a number of things. You could have limited muscular flexibility. It could be stiff or tight, soft tissues. You could have excessive tightness in the joint capsule. These are some very thick tissues that cover the joint itself. Or you could have very just poor alignment of the shoulder complex, such as your posture or poor muscle imbalances in the way some of the muscles on the backside of the shoulder are contributing and moving the shoulder. All those things could have an effect and limit shoulder internal rotation. Limited motion is often associated with many shoulder injuries, such as impingements, but it can also be normal due to anatomical sport-specific adaptations that take place over time. Ask yourself this. Have you played baseball in the past? Many research articles have shown that lifelong baseball players have actually shown this backwards twist of their humerus adaptation over time. It's called humeral retroversion. Basically, the forces that are sustained during the repetitive throwing motion actually twists the bone. It grows with a little bit of a twist, almost like wringing out a towel. It twists backwards. And what that does is it causes a permanent adaptation to the bone structure. Now, this change creates a situation where an athlete will actually show excessive external rotation, but very limited internal rotation upon testing. Now, this itself is not pathological or harmful. So what you have to understand is if someone shows internal rotation limitations, it could be very normal. They could be a baseball player that pitched for 15 years, and now they're unable to show a lot of internal rotation, not because of stiffness that needs to be worked out, but because their body just naturally has developed this anatomical adaptation, and that's the way their body naturally moves. Now, here's the thing you have to understand, though. Regardless of what may have caused limitation, whether it's an anatomical adaptation, whether it's stiffness in certain tissues, whether it's poor posture that's created pain, if moving into active internal rotation creates pain, the last thing we want to do is to try to stretch into that range of motion. If you have pain with internal rotation, you try to stretch into more internal rotation, it's only going to continue the pain cycle and further irritate certain tissues that are already symptomatic, basically. So instead of trying to stretch a painful shoulder into more pain, into more internal rotation, you need to understand that there's other things that are probably creating that pain in the first place. For example, let's say an athlete has a muscular imbalance. Basically, certain muscles that surround the shoulder joint are not working together. So the joint is moving off axis. Well, because of that, it could develop a situation where it is very painful to move the shoulder into internal rotation. Now, like I said, you don't want to stretch into that. But instead, sometimes doing some strengthening drills to fix the muscular imbalance, the stability problem, will reset the joint into moving better, and therefore eventually the pain will go away. We fix the issue and improve internal rotation eventually, not because we stretched into it, but because we address the muscular imbalance, the why behind the original cause of the symptomatic internal rotation motion. So that's the first thing we have to understand. Is it pain-free? Or is it painful? If it's painful, we have to address it other than trying to stretch into it. However, if the screening process was pain-free and only limited due to stiffness, you then have to ask yourself the second question. Are the exercises I'm trying to perform in the weight room, do they require more shoulder rotation? Do they require a good amount of shoulder internal rotation? Limited internal rotation is probably not going to hinder your bench press. It's probably not going to hinder your deadlift. It's definitely not going to hurt your squat, because if you think about it, when you pull yourself under the barbell for a squat, you're moving into shoulder external rotation. However, for an athlete that specifically wants to perform the Olympic lifts, like the snatch and clean and jerk, internal rotation of the shoulder allows the barbell to be held and moved close to the body during the later phases of the pull and into the turnover, especially with the snatch. If an athlete is missing motion, they'll often compensate in one or two ways. Now, the first is an exaggerated looping of the barbell away from the body. Obviously, that's going to kill the efficiency of the lift, and it's going to cause most people to miss a heavy attempt forward. Now, in an effort to combat this obvious technique fault and keep the bar close to the body, what's going to happen is athletes will then compensate the second way for a lack of this internal rotation by rolling almost the entire shoulder complex forward. If you're sitting down listening to this right now, almost pull your arms up like you're performing that shrug, that last pull for the snatch. If you think about it, you can only bring your arm down so much into that internally rotated position. But if you roll your shoulder forward, like you're rounding your shoulder, and shrug upwards, you'll notice you can bring your arm that much closer towards the ground. So you're giving yourself the false impression that you're having more internal rotation of the shoulder, but it's only because you're compensating with moving the entire shoulder complex. Obviously, over time, this could create some issues at the joint, wear and tear, you could eventually have an issue where you're performing poorly and eventually creating injury. Now, in this context, for the person that wants to improve internal rotation because of the Olympic lifts, we can definitely start working on improving that motion. Even if you're that baseball player that has limited motion because of a natural adaptation, if you're wanting to perform the Olympic lifts, obviously you still need a little bit more internal rotation if you want to be efficient and effective with your lifting technique. So in this case, if you don't have pain with internal rotation and you're stiff and you want to perform the Olympic lifts, we then need to talk about how do you actually improve internal rotation in the most efficient ways. One of the most common recommendations in this instance is the sleeper stretch. If you've never seen this exercise, basically you lay on your side, your arm's gonna be out in front of your face, and you're gonna try to push your hand towards the ground, stretching into more internal rotation. This exercise is in fact so popular that I've actually gotten a number of medical doctors that will write on a patient's script when they send them to me, do the sleeper stretch during their rehab. However, I'm not a big fan of this exercise, and I actually caution most of you guys out there against using it for a few reasons. Reason one, the sleeper stretch is often easily performed incorrectly. I'll often see athletes, they roll too far into the ground, they're stretching really aggressively, and in doing so, you actually place a lot of excessive stress on the joint, like the posterior capsule, in a way in which could actually lead to more issues down the road. The stretch is also very similar to a test we actually use to confirm shoulder impingement injuries. It's called the Hawkins-Kennedy test. Basically, you internally rotate the arm in this position, and you're going to close off the front side of the joint. Now, if you have some irritated tissues, that's going to create a lot of pain, especially with the rotator cuff and the biceps tendon that runs right around there. So if you took a photo of that test and you turn it on its side, you're actually going to see it's almost like a mirror image of the sleeper stretch. So why would I want to do a stretch to improve motion that's clinically shown to be a test that we use to determine impingement and injury? We actually want to stay away from it. Even if you could do the stretch correctly, I think there's actually better alternatives that may be more effective and can be performed safer. For example, in a study in 2007 published in the Journal of Orthopedic and Sports Physical Therapy, they compared the sleeper stretch to a simple cross body stretch, basically where you take your arm, you pull it across your body until you feel a good stretch in the backside of your shoulder. Now, they actually found that the cross body stretch was more effective in eliciting improvements in shoulder internal rotation. So basically, we're finding that you can get just as much internal rotation improvements out of the stretch, and it's a safer alternative than the sleeper stretch. So for those of you out there that are looking to improve shoulder internal rotation, I strongly urge you to discard, never use the sleeper stretch, and instead try this cross body stretch. Another thing that could be helpful as well is to do maybe some soft tissue work to the backside of the shoulder. You can take a lacrosse ball, a tennis ball, and sort of run it around that backside of the shoulder, because stiff tissues in that area, external rotators that are stiff and not moving well, will limit internal rotation. So those are sort of the two areas in which you can use to improve internal rotation if you need it. Now, the big thing we have to understand as I wrap this up is we must always consider an individual's needs, problem areas, and goals in lifting when we consider whether or not they require more mobility. Specifically, shoulder internal rotation is the topic of today's podcast. Context is king. Without it, you just find yourself in a bad position if you blindly prescribe certain stretches to everyone, especially the sleeper stretch. Athletes require tuned mobility to meet the demands of their sport and the required movements in it. Athletes with extreme mobility, they walk this thin line. Like I said before, it's much like teetering over the edge of a cliff between what we consider normal and dysfunctional. Just enough mobility provides endless movement options that can maximize your performance, while pushing too much mobility can actually create that instability which leads to uncontrolled movement and a fast track to injury. So the questions you always have to ask yourself, especially when we're talking about this, do I have sufficient internal rotation? Can I pass that test? If it's limited, is it due to pain? Is it due to stiffness? And do the activities and lifts I'm participating in require more internal attention? Now, if you can correctly answer and navigate yourself through all those simple questions, you'll definitely be in a much better position to answer that question from the very original part of this podcast. Do I need more internal attention? I'll let you decide for yourself after what you have learned today. So that is it for today's podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you got something out of it. Maybe it won't help you, but maybe it'll help one of your friends, one of you, the athletes that you train with, or one of the athletes that you coach. If you did enjoy the content of today's podcast, please share it with your friends. Subscribe to the channel. It means so much to me to have you guys listen every single day to these shows. Until next week, guys, happy squatting.
That's it for today, class, on Squat University by Dr. Aaron Horschig. For more exclusive content, log on to squatuniversity.com.